I'm Kristen McFarland, and this is Market Like a Badass. I'm the founder and CEO of The Source Marketing Group, a marketing technology company in Denver, Colorado, focused on highly regulated markets like cannabis and craft beer. The theme this season is increasing revenue with multi-channel marketing, so you'll hear a combination of digital marketing and event tips throughout the customer journey. This season is brought to you by the Source Marketing Group and our media sponsor, Strike Visuals. Today, we're going to hear from special guest Chris Vianello, co-founder of Dazed Cannabis. Co-founding Dazed, Chris Vianello has skillfully utilized his marketing degree from Fordham University to transform Dazed into a renowned national brand. Prior to fully immersing himself in the realm of cannabis, Chris enjoyed a 16-year career in the entertainment insurance industry. Chris has successfully scaled Dazed to a leading brand, poised to be the biggest brand in the East Coast in just a few short years, driving massive buzz and brand awareness while engaging in non-traditional marketing strategies to catapult the brand into the cultural zeitgeist. From community-based sponsorships, hyper-local charity initiatives, sponsoring NASCAR teams, a local boxer, and unique immersive events that bring a fresh new audience into the Dazed community. Want to make a lasting impression at your next event? Check out Strike Visuals, our favorite partner for custom displays for outdoor and indoor events. They offer the lightest, most durable custom pop-up tents in the industry, as well as flags, backdrops, table covers, and sampling counters, all backed by a lifetime warranty. Strike offers free design services, discounted event packages, and unmatched customer service. Strike now and get noticed. Visit strikenow.com to get started today. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Kristen. Thanks for having me.
Yes, excited to have you on. I mean, what an impressive resume and background. And, you know, in your own words, I want to make sure you tell the audience what you do.
I think you captured it. Basically, like you said, I'm one of the co-founders of Dazed. We started the Dazed brand in 2021 in Holyoke, Massachusetts. And so we're just coming up on our 3-year anniversary almost this year and just trying to get the growth that we projected and trying to stay on track.
Yeah. It's an ever-changing, dynamic industry, and I can't wait to dive in more. But before we get into, you know, some of the marketing questions, I've got to ask the most important question of the day, which is, what are you grateful for?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. Just the opportunities that we have. You know, a lot of times you go through different, like, you wake up and there's always struggles going on with whatever you have going on, but then you have to kind of take a step back and look at it from a bigger, broader point of view, I guess, and just, you know, be thankful that you have the opportunities to work on stuff. So that's how I look at it.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's a good mentality. Too blessed to be stressed, right?
Right.
Well, I want to talk about how you all have created buzz and scaled your dispensary. You said you're in your third year, but tell us more about how you went through the lottery process to even be able to open this dispensary in New York.
Yeah. So like you said, I believe it was a lottery or an application process. It's just something that we decided one day to apply for and just said, let's just throw our name in the hat and see what happens. My partner's from, he's a New York City native. So it kind of just made sense. And then, you know, when they gave you the opportunity to say, what jurisdiction in New York do you want to be in? It was an obvious choice to choose Manhattan. So that's where we kind of landed.
Nice. Yeah. And are you guys from Manhattan and that area? Is that where you grew up?
Yeah. So my partner, Keyshawn Warner, is a New York City native. Yes, I'm not.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. My other partner, Rich, and I are New England guys.
Nice. And what are some of the tactics that really helped you all get traffic when initially opening?
So the way that worked was we opened up as a pop-up last April 19th. So really a year ago. And we opened for about 75 days. And there was a lot of media attention around that because we were one of the first 4 or 5 legal stores in New York City. And maybe New York, the state as well. So there was still a lot of buzz around that. And it was also, you know, we were coming around the corner with 420. So there was definitely a lot of buzz online and with media outlets and things like that. And then, you know, obviously New York City is a very busy area, and where we are specifically in Union Square is a lot of, you know, a lot of foot traffic. So people, you know, see you and people have a natural curiosity to what's going on and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you probably get such a mix of tourists, you have locals that you're catering to. So Yeah, I can't wait to get into some of the marketing strategies there because, yeah, that's two different types of audiences. So it's super unique what you're doing there. And you've also talked about, again, you're in Massachusetts. Every market's so unique with all of its challenges and it's drastically different. The types of challenges, regulations, resources, adoption, and support you'll see market to market, right? I'm in Colorado. You know, and this is very different than New York or Florida. So what are the differences between New York and Massachusetts? And how did you determine Massachusetts to be the next location for your dispensary?
Yeah, that's a good question. So actually, we started in Massachusetts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff you see is about the New York opening, but we actually started in Holyoke, Massachusetts in August of 2021. So we had that store originally, and then Manhattan was our second store, and we opened our third store in Munson, Mass in January of this year.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
So yeah, we started in Mass. And like I said, you know, we're from New England. So it was just kind of like a natural thing for us to start where we're from and things like that.
Wow. So started in Mass, not New York, but now moving into New York with such a flagship location, right? To your point, there's a lot of traffic and you have a good mix of tourists, whereas I imagine in Massachusetts, maybe more local community. But what does that mean for marketing strategy state to state if some customers are tourists who may not come back immediately?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different. And just the way people physically get to the store is completely different, right? So, you know, and obviously in Massachusetts, you know, we're in an urban area too, but it's still heavily reliant upon like cars and you don't, it's not like a walkable city where we are at least. So, you know, we're pulling people from wherever they can get from with their car. Whereas in New York, people do obviously have cars, but it's like 95% probably or more foot traffic.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's just a lot of times you'll even see, because sometimes I'll just stand outside and look at people, how they're physically going into the store. And a lot of times you just see people just walking. They see the sign, they kind of stop in their tracks and make a pit stop. So there's a lot of that too. Whereas, you know, in Massachusetts, that's not ever the case. Nobody's just, I don't think, really just bumping into you. They're kind of deliberately going to your store and getting in the car and going there specifically. So yeah, it's just, you just have to approach those things differently. And like with the tourists, you just have to approach how you're getting at those people. Well, just a little differently, I would say.
Yeah, I love that you brought up going to the store and observing. I mean, from an owner or a marketing director, whatever your role is there, like I think that's so important to actually see what's going on and to see what's pulling customers in and to understand some of that customer psychology more. So good on you for doing that and taking those observations so you can really apply both, you know, that anecdotal data to other data that you're collecting. And so again, still on this topic, how do you create segments or marketing strategies per store to be relevant to each customer's hyperlocal market?
That's a great question. Let me see. So how do we develop different marketing strategies depending on the local market? I mean, first and foremost, you just have to go into the community, regardless of where you are, and just try to get a feel for what's happening there and just become part of that community, but do it in a way that you're just being yourself, right? So
yep.
Regardless of if we're in Holyoke, Massachusetts or Munson, Massachusetts or New York City, I think it's first of all important that we're just trying to do what we do and be ourselves with the way we project ourselves, but then also just try to get into what's going on with the community and see where we fit in and how we fit in versus just trying to go in there and see what other people are doing and try to replicate that. We definitely don't want to try to do that. So I would say when you go into a different community, you just have to really see what's happening. And like one of the things I do, you know, when we open a store, I set up the phone number to be my actual cell phone. So, you know, when you're first opening, you get a ton of questions that are completely different from one store to the other. So I like to do that to see like what people are asking, because that's really kind of like an insight into what people are thinking.
Oh, I like that idea. What a great idea for you, because you're able to get that feedback on the fly very quickly and know exactly how to start dialing things in for a new location, because it's really pivotal to your point. I mean, you've got to understand the community because it's different state to state, and really understanding what the questions are and how to cater to that local market is really so important.
Yeah. And then the timing of the market matters too, right? Because, you know, in New York City, we get a lot of questions about products and things like that. Whereas in Massachusetts, when we opened, it wasn't so much because the market was already pretty much established. So we weren't like the first store people were ever experiencing. They had already been to different stores and they kind of knew some of the base products that were in the state and things like that. So it's definitely different.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's so different. And what about, like, if you're expanding into different states, how do you know you're successful? Are there certain metrics that you should be tracking, especially when you are extra sensitive because you're going into a brand new community or market?
That's a good question, too. I just think we just go in there and, like I said, just do what we do. And then hopefully it makes sense to the community. And if, you know, I would say, regardless of who you are, you know, we're not going to be for everybody. I'm sure people come into our store and it's really not their cup of tea, and that's fine. We try to obviously, you know, appeal to as broad of an audience as we can. But we also, like I said, trying to stick to what it is that we want to, how we want to portray ourselves. It's not going to be for everybody. So
absolutely. And that's a good thing. Again, you're attracting the people you want to do business with and repel the rest. And that's why authenticity is key when you're building a brand. And I really appreciate that you touched on that. And before we dive into more of the multi-channel marketing tips, I'm just curious what marketing channels have been helpful for you all thus far as you all have scaled.
So the things that we do marketing wise, I would say, is what you would consider, a lot of people would consider probably a little more like analog, and we're not really up to most of the stuff that we do is pretty low tech and pretty like old school, I would say. We try to get into the communities and really like talk to people where they're at physically. And a lot of times that doesn't include hitting them on their phone or their email or their computers and things like that. I understand that that's something that we, first of all, we do it, but it's just not something we really like. That's not our core way that we try to reach our audience. We do that because we understand that that's kind of where people are spending a lot of their time. But again, I think, you know, we try to just really develop relationships with people in different areas of what we see where our target market is, whether it's nightlife or sports or art or just stuff like that, music. And we try to just like support those people who have similar ways that they project themselves.
Yeah, that's huge. Getting out and activating in the field and getting FaceTime, you know, with your business in front of the community that you serve, that's priceless. And again, we'll talk more about multi-channel marketing tips, but it sounds like you're doing a lot in the field. Can you talk about, like, are you all doing field marketing activations at these concerts where you have a booth and you're setting up gear, or is it mainly you all just being present and having brand ambassadors at these local community events?
Really, it's both. We have a lot of great people that we work with, you know, our like extended, I'd say, dazed family, like the people that are physically in these places, you know. So if we have nightlife promoters or things like that, we kind of rely on them to dictate to us what it is that they want to do to kind of present the brand in an event that we're sponsoring or putting on ourselves or something like that. So really, it's just dependent on what the venue is, what they'll allow, what it is that we feel is going to be the best, you know, bang for our time and energy. So yeah, all of that. I mean, we've done everything from setting up booths to just sending people in there with the day's clothing on and just giving away some knickknacks and things like that, or hosting comedy events and having our name on stage, or sponsoring sports teams or boxers or things like that. So yeah, it just depends on what it is.
Nice. And that ties in with your background. I thought I heard some sports in the background when we first popped on, and sounds like you've got that boxing background. And so again, I think it seems very authentic to you all and your brand. And I want to encourage other people to do the same, like lean into where you're comfortable too, right? If you're really good at activating with events and you can really get out and engage the community, then go do that and be absolutely true to yourself. When you're out there and doing this, I'm assuming you're collecting data or emails or SMS, but how do you use marketing data, even just watching people, how they're coming in and engaging, you know, in the store? How do you use marketing data to inform your decisions on deploying new campaigns or even going into the next market?
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, you know, when you do gather information, you know, some of the important things that you get are like where people are from, and then try to gauge the ages and things like that, which is super important. You know, if you have an older audience at this location versus a younger audience here, that's just something to gauge how you're going to, where it is that you're going to spend your energy. And then also, obviously, you know, like locations, depending on where people are coming from. And then also, you'd like to look at that information, because if you're deliberately trying to attract a certain audience, demographic, age base specifically, you know, you like to look at those things after you've done a certain amount of campaigns in a certain time period to see if what you tried to do really resonated or not.
Yeah, always be looking and learning and optimizing. I mean, really, you should be testing all the time to figure out, yeah, how to just streamline the work that you're doing and make it easier to get out and make those conversions and double down on the channels that are working so that, again, you're making the most use out of your time, because we're all busy business owners. So we have to be, you know, intentional there. Now, I want to geek out a little bit more on the, you know, if you guys do any geofencing or automations. Do you all use geofencing or automations to capture customers with the right message at the right time?
Yeah, like I said, we're definitely kind of more of the old-fashioned style marketing, understanding that we have to, again, we do it and we understand why we have to do it and we continue to do it. But that's something that we just recently started with the geofencing and things like that. And it's really something, the way that we looked at it and said, like, okay, let's again, from a granular standpoint, let's understand where we are in the market, who we are, who we resonate with. And then from there, kind of use the geofencing to say, all right, this is where we want to go versus, you know, just teaming up with a company like that. And then, you know, having them dictate where we should go or where they just think we should be focusing those geo-targeting efforts.
Are you doing that more at the top of the funnel, like a Google profile or hyperlocal SEO? Or are you using something like a tool like, you know, Cordial on the enterprise level where you can send, based off a geofencing around a competitor dispensary, you send an email campaign with an offer to try to drive them back to your dispensary? What?
The latter is kind of what we're doing. I wouldn't say we're using that with necessarily competitors, because again, we don't want to get into a situation where we're competing with other dispensaries. Of course, we're always in competition with other people and stuff like that, but we don't want to turn it into that. Again, I think if we're doing our job and we're just portraying ourselves the way we want to be seen and giving people the experience, the knowledge when they come in the store that we think that they want to have, I think that that's good. So yeah, I mean, we do the geofencing, but it's not necessarily with like other stores, because we feel as though if someone's going to that other store, there's likely a reason for it. That would be a good strategy, obviously. I think a better serve for us is to say, like, where do we feel like our customers are coming from other than another dispensary? Like, where do we see some of our other customers going, you know, in their other business, going about their daily life?
Yep, that's a good point. And yeah, I appreciate the insight there, because it's always really cool to see what people are doing there with some of the more hyper-local targeting. I love that you guys are out in the field. So I'm just interested to hear more of, like, what's been the most effective for building awareness and loyalty out in the community?
I think some of the best campaigns that we've had have involved kind of empowering different folks in the nightlife industry in locally in Massachusetts. And those have kind of been the best bang for us, I think.
Nice. I love that. What do you mean by that more? I mean, if there's any details, I'm just curious around activations in the nightlife. Is that where you're saying they're in like branded gear, handing out and representing the dispensary, maybe handing out coupons to a key demo that you all cater to?
Not necessarily like coupons and things like that, but definitely going into kind of a certain venue with promote. Again, we do, when I say we kind of do what we see as authentic for ourselves, that also means like working with people that we feel like we have good connections with and we like to be around and we like to work with, and then kind of taking what it is that they're doing and give them, kind of empower them to say, here's what I have going on and here's how I see days fitting in with that. So really, it's more of like rather than just going someplace and just slapping our name on it, it's really more like working with people that we want to work with and having them say, okay, like, here's an event that we have. Here's why I think Days is a good fit for this group. Here's who I think my audience is likely going to be. They're coming from these areas. Here's their age group. And so we'll empower them to say, what do you think will work for that? You know, if you have a good relationship with the performer, maybe we can give them some gear and then people can see us in that light. Or, you know, like I said, if there's local promoters or influencers, we'll do the same thing with them and just try to just make them part of the team and see how it goes. And if it's a natural fit, it just works. And we just kind of continue with what feels right for us. And usually those are the ones that I would point to say they kind of work the best for us.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to building a partner system, right? A partner ecosystem to help your business grow, whether you're a retail dispensary owner, whether you're a brand, whether you're an ancillary service provider. I think that's one of the most critical pieces of whether or not you're going to be successful, right? Is those, you know, the community, the partners, the people that you lean on and the brand ambassadors that you build. And that community is so important. And Yeah. Do you have any tips for building up that partner ecosystem? I mean, a lot of these folks, people that you already kind of locked in, or, you know, have you gone to certain industry or other events that have helped you all expand your partner network, especially as you've, you know, moved to different states as well?
Yeah, I'd say the partnerships that work are the ones that are mutually beneficial, right? So like, you know, we're obviously getting something out of our relationship with the influencer or partner because, you know, we're getting the recognition for our brand. And then hopefully from them, you know, they're getting either some kind of monetary relief on events that they're doing or something like that. And it's giving them just like a little bit more support and a little more footing and a backbone of what, you know, for their own company. Because regardless of what you're doing, it's tough, you know, and working together just always kind of feels like you can kind of lean up against each other. It just will help both people all the time.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important. And that even includes your brand partnerships. So, you know, brand relationships are very important for dispensary owners. Customers want their favorite brands, or maybe they're picking up a new release from Miss Grass. What are some of the best tips for ongoing budtender education and brand partnerships state to state?
So that's huge, right? So once the people are in the store, right now, there's a whole nother set of, you know, challenges and things you want to hit on. And once the people are in the store, the brands that do the best in our stores are the ones that connect really with the budtenders, right? So the budtenders are there to a lot of times people are coming into the store, it may be their first time, or there's always new products coming online, especially in a new market like New York. So, you know, the budtenders are there to really educate the customer on why something is different price than something else, or what these different categories mean, and how, you know, depending on how they consume, what it looks like for them as a consumer. So I think the more information that the brands give the budtenders, the better, obviously, because, you know, we get the products in and we only have so much topical knowledge about those things, but really nobody can give that information to the budtenders better than the people that know it from the ground up. And right, we don't have that information as the store owners on every single product. So again, same thing, when you talk about the partnerships that we have with different brands, you know, we have so many different brands in our store, and really it's the ones who we just naturally communicate better with, or, you know, just work with easier, are really the ones that I see doing better, just because the communication is there, specifically, like I said, with the budtenders, because they're really the gatekeepers of what brands are going to get into the hands ultimately of the consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. And nurturing those folks as well. So you can't just talk to them one time and say, okay, we've educated you. You know, it's really about that ongoing knowledge. Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest pieces, especially because, I mean, I was just in a dispensary in Colorado and she said, oh, you want this one? It's 70% THC. And it's like a big sigh, you know? And so it was, I think it is important because it gives customers a way better in-store experience. They're going to find the products that work for them better too, you know, in terms of if you have pain, or, you know, I love Mary's Medicinals, you know, to put on spots where I've had thoracic pain from a car accident. So I really think that bud tender education, I mean, really can't be overlooked. And I think that's going to be huge. So now I'm going to push you into the lightning round. You've got 5 questions. You've got 10 seconds to answer each one. Are you ready?
I think so. We'll see. We'll find out.
All right. What is your go-to lazy dinner?
Oh, pasta.
Nice. What's your favorite cannabis strain?
Super Lemon Haze.
Nice. Super Lemon. What's the best book for entrepreneurs?
Oh, Why We Buy. I don't know who the author is.
Oh, I don't know if I've read that one. I will have to check that out because it sounds great. What is a cause you care deeply about?
A cause I care deeply about? The environment.
Hey, especially, yeah, perfect for the industry you're in, agriculture. We need more support of the environment of all kinds. What's the craziest thing on your bucket list?
Maybe hiking cross country.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, that's going to take a while, but wow, the stories and the beauty.
Well, south to north, not east to west.
Oh, okay. Hey, that would be beautiful. Are you going to start in Montana?
No, on the East Coast, the Appalachian Trail.
Oh,
in theory, I'd like to do it. It's just, it sounds like a lot of time to carve out.
Hey, I think you should go for it. I'm from West Virginia originally, so straight out of the Appalachia. Right. Yeah. I encourage it. I think that would just be so cool. And it takes, what, over 6 months?
Something like that. Yeah. I've met, you know, obviously, like you said, if you're in the East Coast, you've hit portions of it, but not the whole thing.
Wow. That's a really cool goal. Well, thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate it. And if you need quick links, check out our Market Like a Badass show notes with links to social handles. But in your own words, can you tell our audience where they can find you?
Yeah, so we're on mainly Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I think it also is @DazeCanna, DazeCanna.
Perfect. Yes, make sure to follow them, show them some love, and thank you so much for coming on. I'll drop this info in the show notes so our listeners can find you. Follow us on Apple or Spotify, or go to marketlikeabadass.media for the latest episodes of Market Like a Badass.